I think it's neat. We're all here. Yeah, we made it tonight and been looking forward to this missions conference and how the Lord would work in our hearts and prepare us for what He has in store for us. And so I always, and I'll just kind of keep you updated, I just finished. Matter of fact, the month of March, I've done three revival meetings. Two of them are from Sunday through Wednesday, and then one, the last one was Sunday through Friday. Just as exciting to be able to get out and be with these churches and to be an inspiration. That's the whole of it as far as moving and motivating people. Do you realize how much of a challenge that is? Could you say amen to that? Amen. Now go ahead, you can speak for yourself. Yeah. Preacher, I really need some motivation. Yeah. Well, between the Lord and I, we could get that done if you would agree and allow the Lord access to your life. And that's... You see, if you've been praying for this meeting and asking God to speak to your heart, now, you have to be consistent on this now. If you pray that the Lord speak to your heart, you have to let Him know. Did you get that? I mean, it's inconsistent for you to pray, Lord, speak to my heart, and then don't let Him. Yeah. So we have to be open and receptive to the Lord. Now, missions conferences were not as easy and free. Why? Because we're talking about something sensitive. Yeah. And so the Lord just finds ways of speaking to you, and you try to find ways of giving Him excuses. And so these conferences and these missions emphasis and messages that are given, they're given to try to convince you and persuade you to see it God's way. See, we don't always see it God's way, and so that's why we have these times together. And so we're just looking for the Lord to do something big and something very special. Want you to know I appreciate the support that you're giving to us. Huge blessing. Absolutely. We're just thrilled and tickled about that. And I just want you to know that we get to go to churches. This year we'll be in a church everywhere this every Sunday this year. And we were last year as well. And it's just a neat thing. Last year we had 18 consecutive day meetings, which means a Sunday through a Wednesday or a Wednesday through something or through a Friday or whatever. And this year we have 26. Consecutive day meetings. So it's actually half the year. And yet we get to go to a lot of small churches, and that's why churches like yours supporting us helps us, because we go to congregations that might have 10 people in them. Now, a church like that needs revival meeting too. And that pastor probably needs more encouragement than pastors in other places. And I've been to preachers, been with preachers, and been an encouragement. My ministry is to minister to both the church and the pastor. And it has proven to be a very full ministry, an enhancing ministry, a very blessed ministry. And just looking for the Lord to continue to work in the hearts and lives of these pastors and churches. So just keep on praying. We appreciate your support. Huge, huge blessing. And it's like your preacher was saying, you know, those gas prices, those are the things I'm very much interested in when I drive by a gas pump, always looking at the price. Always looking at the price. I like the Iowa prices better than most states that I've been in anyway. And so anyhow, I just appreciate that. And praising the Lord for all of His goodness to us. And you remember last time that I like sharing a little bit from the lighter side when I'm in that, at least the evening services. So I would like to go ahead and just start with that tonight, and then want to share some thoughts with you concerning what God's looking for from you this week, and He has a desire to speak to your heart and convince you about what He wants you to do and for missions this year to increase. And so I want to share with you a couple of things here on the lighter side just before we get to the message. Do you realize that only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance? And do you realize that only in America are there handicapped parking places in the front of a skating rink? Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fry, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do banks leave both doors open and then chain the pens to the counters. And only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and leave useless things in junk and boxes in the garage. Only in America do we use answering machines to screen calls and then have call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. And only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of? Yeah, you know, don't you? And then only in America do we use the word politics to describe the process so well, poly in Latin meaning many and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. Yeah, I think it's interesting. If you think on this, if you spin an oriental man in a circle three times, does he become disoriented? And I think this is a question for thought. Can an atheist get insurance coverage for acts of God? That's an intriguing thought. There's no question about that one. And can vegetarians eat animal crackers? And let your imagination go. Would a fly without wings be called a walk? You know why I read these slow? This is for the thinkers. If someone with multiple personalities threatens to kill himself, is it considered a hostage situation? One nice thing about egotists, they don't talk about other people. Yeah, and whose cruel idea was it for the word lisp to have an S in it? A preacher was completing a temperance sermon, and with great expression, he said, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and throw it into the river." The congregation nodded their approval. With awe and with even greater emphasis, he said, "If I had all the wine in the world, I'd take it and throw it into the river too." And the people clapped and were saying, "Amen." Then finally he concluded, "And if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd take it and throw it into the river." As he sat down, the song leader then stood and very cautiously announced with a smile, "For our closing song, let us sing number 365, Shall We Gather at the River?" Pastor was visiting one of his elderly ladies in this church from his congregation. He sits down at the couch and he notices a large bowl of peanuts on the coffee table. He said, mind if I have a few? And she said, no, not at all. And then they chat for an hour and the preacher stands to leave. And he realizes that instead of eating just a few peanuts, he emptied most of the bowl. I'm terribly sorry for eating all your peanuts. I really just meant to eat a few. And she said, oh, that's all right. Ever since I lost my teeth, all I can do is suck the chocolate off them anyway. A young man named Murphy applied for an engineering position at an Irish firm based in Dublin. An American applied for the same job, and both applicants having the same qualifications were asked to take a test by the department manager. And upon completion of the test, both men only missed one of the questions. And the manager went to Murphy and said, thank you for your interest, but we've decided to give the American the job. And Murphy said, and why would you be doing that? We both got 9 questions correct, this being Ireland, and me being Irish, I should get the job. The manager said, well, we made our decision not based on the correct answer, but on the question that you missed. And Murphy said, and just how would one incorrect answer be better than another? And the manager said, simple. The American put down on question number 5, I don't know. You put down, neither do I. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. On your way to heaven? Amen. Praise the Lord, glory be to God, and it's like one missionary said, shame on the devil. Amen? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hey, this is a missions conference, or at least this is called, we take the name Faith and we put it to promise. So then this is all about giving. So we need to find a way to see just how this thing called faith works. All right, and it's interesting because you know as we examine the word faith, there's a lot that's behind that, and it really requires something of us that we were not born with. We were not born with faith. Well, you know, we trust in some interesting things in our life, like the chair that you're sitting on. Did you check the legs on it before you sat down? I think not. Nope, but it sure did take you faith to sit on that chair, right? Because you put a lot of faith resting upon those legs. Now, what about the faith that you would exercise toward God? I want to share with you a verse I'd like to use as a theme this week. And that would be in 1 Corinthians. If you would turn there, please. In 1 Corinthians, and we'll go here to chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In your Bibles, please, you'll notice here the Word of God says so clearly and distinctly as we look here to verse 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. And what's that next word? Stewards. All right? Stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. All right. Over the course of time, I have found a number of names that God gives to us. A number of names that God gives to us. Steward is one of those names. And somewhere along this week, you'll see a few other names that I've been sharing with folks. But the name steward, that's who we are. Now, just let me ask this of you. Yeah, just outright, do you know what a steward does? Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to know what a steward does if we are one? Yeah. And I've found that there have been a number of people that, you know, they see words, but they're never interested in wanting to know what they mean or what they are. So I'm here to help you, as well as your preacher is here, and Sunday school teacher, and those who are instructing, and those of you who are self-initiated, who would actually take a dictionary and go look up the word steward just to find out what they do. Now, there are not a lot of people like that. You know, I really don't know that there's, how many of you do not even have a dictionary in your home? But what I'm trying to say is that steward is something that you and I need to be able to identify with. And that's something that you're going to try, that you need to try this week to keep focus upon. God says that I'm a steward. God says that I'm a steward. So, what does that mean? What do stewards do? Well, he does say that it's required of stewards to be found what? Yeah, full of faith. Faithful. And so this is a requirement that God brings upon you as stewards. So we could ask the question in midstream and say, how you doing? How's your life as a steward doing? Because God's going to ask you to give account of how your life as a steward is productive, how that you are obedient to the call and to the name that God has given to you, the name steward. A steward is someone who is the caretaker of that which belongs to someone else. A caretaker of that which belongs to someone else. In this case, this belongs to God. And you are the caretaker. How about that? You are the caretaker. So we come into a missions conference just like this, and I appreciate your faithfulness in supporting missions over all these years. That's huge. That's monstrous. It really is. But when we come into a missions conference like this, it's all about how well you're taking care of what belongs to God. In this case, the preacher passed out pink cards. It's a good thing they're not pink slips. You know, we really don't cherish those things. But the fact of the matter is, why? What are they supposed to represent? Well, here's what it is, preacher. Our pastor wants us to pray about how much to give in missions this year. And that's with the intent that if we haven't been giving, that we'll start. And if we have been giving, that we'll increase. So the fact of the matter is now, when we're talking about stewardship, we're talking about how much more of God's money should we give to God? No amens that time, preacher. You see, how much more of God's money should we give to God? Hey, when you don't have a job, do you give it as a prayer request? Preacher, I don't have a job. Would you pray for me? Church, would you pray for me? Have we ever prayed for jobs? Why? Have you ever noticed we pray for a job, God gives us a job, and then we think the money's ours? Well, what'd you ask God for a job for? Go get your own. You know what I'm saying? Why ask God? I mean, if you're going to ask God for a job and He gives you a job and then He has to fight you in order to give to missions, something's not right there. We're not thinking real clear. You see, because is this God's church? Amen? And then we would be His people. Obviously, we are the church. And then how does God reach the missions field? He reaches it with His money. Where is His money located? It's located in the pockets of His saints. Yeah, right where you sit. Yeah, you see, God knows where the money is at. Because it's all His. Yeah. It's all His. So, bearing that in mind as stewards now. Stewards. We are caretakers of God's money. And when God speaks to us, God says, "This is what I want you to give." We would be wise in answering what God's request is. To give as unto the Lord. Why? It's His anyway. And when we give, He blesses us in turn. You see, it doesn't even change in an Obama-run administration. We can actually give to missions even with the president we have now. I know it's a greater challenge. But it can be done. And so, the fact of the matter is that God is here to say to you, let's look at it in the best way possible. Look at it through my eyes. Don't you think it's about time we look through what God sees? Because God sees a picture totally different than we do. And by the way, I think we're probably tired of seeing through our eyes anyway. Let's just somehow change it to see the way. I mean, this is what the Word of God's all about. Seeing it through God's eyes. A steward means that the money is not yours to begin with. Get that into your mind first of all. I know. You worked all week for it. You got all kinds of sweat to prove it. But the fact of the matter is, God gave you the job and He gave you the hours to work it and He gave you the ability to sweat through it and He gave you the ability to eat and exist. It's all God given. Amen. These are the things that are absolutely factual. Now, you take stewardship, the fact that you're a steward, and now you apply that to faith. How much faith does Open Door Baptist Church have? How much do we have? And I would say to you, whatever it is we have, it can be increased. In whatever sector of our life as a child of God, our faith can be increased. So we're going to be asking God to do something that He does so well. That is, perform miracles. Perform miracles in your life. Would you say that there are things that could happen in your life that could create a more godliness within you? Most likely, huh? That if these things ever did take place and they ever did happen, it would be a miracle, right? It would be a miracle. Some of you say, "Well, preacher, I can't even afford to give a dollar to missions." Maybe there's some here that are not giving anything whatsoever. But look, God's not asking you to give of your own coffer, so to speak, or give, shall we say, from your piggy bank. And take out the mothballs from your pockets and give it to... No, he's not doing that at all. He's asking for you to look to him in faith, asking God to give you an amount so that you can give to missions. Give to missions now from something you don't have. From something you don't have. And somewhere along the way this week, we'll look at that a little bit closer. But the fact of the matter is, we're talking about faith. Faith, that's something that we all should have. But I would not be a bit surprised that there's a number of us that are lacking this thing called faith. We're lacking it. Why? We weren't born with it. We have to grow into it, that our faith would increase. And that's something that is so critical. That takes us to Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn there, please, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It is called the faith chapter. And it would do us well to be able to examine, to be able to read slowly, so that we can digest what God's Word has to say. We don't always do so well at digesting. Why? You know, because this is a fast-paced world that we live in today. A fast-paced world. Everybody's in a rush. So, we're eating on the run, and we eat hurriedly. We don't digest well when we eat in a hurry. It's hard on our system. The same applies to our spiritual life. If we do not digest what God gives to us, such is the word called meditation. Meditating on the Word of God. Just simply thinking upon what God said. Now, notice, if we read it slowly, slow enough for God to speak to us. These are not new verses, not new words. It's all been here before. I mean, how about this word? This verse, number one, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. How many of us are witness that these things exist, that there's evidence in our life, this is the way that it is, that it is the evidence of things not seen. Causes us to look into our heart, causes us to question, do I have what it takes to trust God? Do I have what it takes to trust God? Again, this is so big, this is so huge, that we need to be participators, not spectators. Spectators get nothing done, all right? Spectators get nothing done. I'm telling you, all they do is sit. I mean, they fill space, they help insulate the place, they keep it a little bit warmer, but they don't get anything done. Now, the participator, that's the person that gets things done in their life. In this missions conference, God's looking for people whose hearts are alive, whose hearts are responsive, whose hearts will say, Lord, I'm not much, I don't have much, but I am a willing vessel. Hey, that's all God needs. Just a vessel that's willing. There's no other requirement. I mean, has God proven generation after generation that all He needs is a vessel and does great things for those who are willing? Amen. Yeah. And so what that means, now it's time for you to be the vessel. Really getting really serious about it. He says here in we're talking about faith. Verse 2 follows it up and says, for it, that means faith, for it the elders obtained a good report. Watch this. through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And in verse 6, one of the most famous verses, and I wonder why, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Means you can't please God without faith. It's not possible. Now this is the place where you get to say, Amen! Yeah. Now that was kind of a weak and anemic one. But through this week, we ought to be able to get that up to par. Yeah, we'll work on that one together. But the fact is, it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a certain place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, did what? Yeah, obeyed. And then verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. Notice in verse 11, through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. We go down to verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And then in verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And in verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Then in verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his sons, or his bones. And then he said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. By faith Moses, we're in verse 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then we go down the way and see down here in verse 33, verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and it says, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who, through what? Faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, What's God charging and challenging you in this missions conference? To simply give more to missions. That looks a lot easier than going through any of these things that required faith. What? Is that all God's asking of me, to increase my giving? Hallelujah! Amen! That's no problem! Yeah. It's like one little girl says, if you want a kitten, begin asking for a horse. The whole fact of the matter is, look, these people lived by faith and they died by faith. That ought to be our desire, to want to live or die by faith, however that comes out. But this is about increasing our giving so that we might reach the lost more than before. Amen? Always to increase. Sometimes we think, man, we're already giving more than we've ever given before. And I just don't think we can give any more. And if we were to give any more, it would be a miracle. You know anybody that does miracles? By the time you think you have hit the ceiling, God's just raised the ceiling. Is there anything God can't do? There's nothing God can't do. I want to show you some people who have no names that are recorded in Scripture who decided to take action and step out by faith. So the question would be posed to you tonight. Did you know that you're going to die? Yeah, you heard the rumor, right? Well, that's out there floating around somehow, some way, some shape, some form. But I would ask of you this question now. Since you know that you're going to die, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Why, you trying to tell me I should go to the people down there at the funeral home and start making arrangements? No, I'm not saying that. Might not be a bad idea, though. But you know that you're going to die, right? Say, did you ever find out when that was? Do you know exactly the date that you're going to die? No, not at all. You know, I read this somewhere, and I thought it was a profound statement. This man said, I'm going to live till I die. Would you like that? Isn't that profound? Wait a minute. Don't we all live till we die? He really didn't mean to be funny. Here's what he really said. He said, since I'm going to die, I'm going to live till I die. Since I'm going to die, and I know that I'll breathe my last breath, there'll be a last day on earth, I'm going to make my life count for something till I do. In other words, since I'm going to die, why not do something while I'm in the process? And while I'm in the process of dying, why not make it big? You know, some of us live such small lives. You know, it's just a little bit of blip on the radar. Blip, blip, blip. What's that? All these Christians are living their small lives. They're not looking for any miracles. Hey, if you discovered a miracle in your life and that radar would show bloop, hey, how about that? None of this little bitty stuff. What I'm trying to say is, allow God to use you in a greater way to reach the lost at whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. You know what ought to happen? The saints of God ought to be able to rise up and say, "Amen, preacher, count me in." Over here in the Old Testament, I just think this is incredible. In chapter 7, if you would, in the book of 2 Kings, if you'll turn here with me, 2 Kings chapter 7, I'd like you to see this. I just get excited about every time I look at it. But in 2 Kings, I'd like you to look at chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Notice this with me, please. Now, as we begin to read, I want to set the setting here. We're talking about Samaria. There's a problem here in the land of Israel. The Syrians have come and are starving out the Israelites. In this case, we're looking at the Samaritans. And we're starting out with the man of God, and the man is Elisha. Now, it must be understood in this particular account of Scripture that this is an impossible situation. People are dying of starvation. They're literally dying of starvation. They have eaten everything that they can find that's edible. They have eaten everything that there is. And there's no hope that the Syrians are going to move away. And so Elisha speaks here, and he makes a prophecy. He said here, "Then said Elisha, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." Well, you better listen up now. The man of God is speaking the word of God. Say, isn't that what's going on here tonight? Is not the man of God speaking the word of God tonight? Yeah, we don't always see it like that, though, do we? Well, where are you going tonight? Well, I'm going to church. Why? It's Wednesday night. Why else? Now, wait a minute. We need to change that attitude. We're going to go and worship God and hear from the man of God as God's going to speak to our heart. Amen. That's why we come. So he says here, the man of God says to the word of God, "Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria." This is not possible, normally speaking. Even the man that responds in verse 2 says so. Then a lord in whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" He doubts the man of God. Have you ever doubted the man of God? Oh, he won't really say amen to that one. But we know what it feels like to doubt the man of God, right? Even to doubt the word of God. Have we ever caught ourselves doubting the word of God? Doubting God himself? Hey, that's the opposite of faith. That's what you call faithlessness. We can't have faithlessness in a faith promise missions conference. We just can't have that. Why? Because the job is not going to get done that God wants to accomplish. He needs you to do the job. So, the man of God says, and he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." In other words, the man of God responds by saying, "You're going to see it tomorrow, but you won't get to eat." And we're not going to go all the way to the end of the chapter. But at the end of the chapter, the man gets trampled to death by the people who are going to eat. Take that. All right? You say, "Well, preacher, how does this apply to missions?" I think it's fantastic. I really do. I mean, notice this. He says here in verse number 3, "And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate." Now, we all understand leprosy is a deadly disease. Once it's contracted, you're that's it. That's it. You just simply die a slow death. It's a guaranteed a slow death. And so these men are dying with everybody else. They had this added this disease, and then famine is added to the problem. And so they're entering into the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we what? Die." You know, we Baptists can do that. We can sit here till we die. That's why I appreciate this man, what he said. You know, "I'm going to live till I die." Now, you Baptists can sit there if you want. Not me. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something till I die. And hopefully you'll get that picture as the conference takes progress. The idea is, yet these men decided to do something about the fact they're just sitting and waiting for death. Just sitting and waiting for death. Now, we had a couple of smart alecks down there at Baptist Bible College where I went to school years back. And they're out there standing in front of the administration building, and they're all looking up. Some other guys came over there and said, "What you doing?" I said, "Well, we're just waiting for the rapture." And so they hung around just to draw a crowd. Some more came. Finally, we had a good crowd. They're all standing there waiting for the rapture. I mean, it's amazing how funny people can get. We were just having a great time. Just sitting there, waiting for the rapture. You know, it's not too far removed from the truth, though. You go into the average Baptist church and you find that people are just sitting, waiting for the rapture. You know what I mean? Just sitting. I mean, those are the folks that are crying, "Lord, come quickly, get us out of this mess." Right? Yeah, the amens are kind of weak here. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, some of us want to say, "Look, I'm tired of all this. Get me out. I read where it's a better life in heaven, and it's got to be better than this." And so they're just sitting and waiting for the rapture. But look, if that's all there was to the Christian life, then God could eliminate a lot of the Scripture that we wouldn't need us all these pages. These pages tell us how to live till Jesus comes. That's what the Word of God has written. It tells you how to live, how to give of your heart, give of your life, how to serve Him, glorify Him, till you get to heaven. So I'm saying to you, those of you that have given up laboring in the work of God and just waiting for Jesus to take you home, live till you die. Live till you die. Oh, these men got together and they had a conference. It's amazing what four lepers can come up with when they discuss between themselves their next action. Look at their reasoning. It says, if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city. And we shall what? Die there. And then they say, and if we sit still here, we what? Die also. So they said, now, therefore come, let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but what? They just found a third option of dying. Kind of quicker that way, really. But hey, they figured that since we're going to die, let's do something while we die. That's better than do nothing Baptist. Yeah, and we've got plenty of those. They're a dime a dozen. You can find do nothing Baptist just about everywhere you look. You know who they are? They're the ones that are doing nothing. Yeah. You can find them just about any place. But to find a Baptist that's doing something, hey, you found a gem there. This is where you can say amen now. Yeah, I mean, isn't that true? This is a gem that you find a Baptist who's doing something. What's he doing? He's getting involved in missions, sowing in. I mean, he's involved in serving his God. Preachers get tired of do-nothing Baptists. And you'll hear me share this term. They're known as pew riders. You know what they do? You know what pew riders do? They ride the pew. Isn't that profound? While the rest are doing the work. Getting involved. What if every human being here got involved in giving to missions? Every single body in this building. Wow, would that ever be big? These men decided that since they're going to die, they're going to die doing something. This is a big deal. They're going to go to the Syrians. They're going to go to the enemy. These brave souls. So watch this now. And they rose up in the twilight and to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Why? Verse 6 says, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise. All right? We're talking about the Syrian army, veteran soldiers, tough guys. You know, where they put muscles on top of muscles. I mean, they are experienced warriors. They're experienced at cutting off people's heads and maiming and destroying cities and conquering kingdoms. And they're not in the camp because they heard a noise. Sound like scaredy cats to me. Chickens. Well, but look, this was no ordinary noise. It was the noise of chariots, noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. They said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Hey, this is the first introduction of the surround sound. I mean, it just real, lifelike. I mean, it just seemed as if they were really, really, really there. And so because of that, it said in verse 7, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. I mean, they left in their pajamas. They weren't stopping for nothing. How big is this and how huge is it? Hey, do you know what's going on here? Four men decided to take action by faith. I think this is a great display of faith. Because here come, you want to know why? Here's why the Syrian soldiers have fled. Because four lepers are coming. Yeah. Four lepers are coming and God is rolling out the red carpet as they take their step by faith. The Syrian army is running scared. Four lepers are coming. I emphasize that because, well, these men don't have any names as far as we're concerned. There's no record of them anywhere. four nameless lepers decided they were going to take action. Since they're going to die and they're in the process of dying, why not do something big while they're dying? Did you know that you're dying? Do you know when you're going to die? Hey, we don't know when we're going to die, do we? No. We don't know when we're going to die. I'm saying this to say to you, God in His infinite wisdom is doing everything He can to impress you. To impress you to the place where He can take care of you. Is He taking care of these four lepers? Four nameless lepers. What if God, what if you answered God's call and God said to you, I want you to give this much to missions, and look, you used to faint over that amount. Some of you don't even do that anymore because you don't even do much with the increase to begin with. It's so hard. I mean, you can just hear the pressure mounting up when you put the figure down. And you hold your heart and you just say, oh, this is going to be tough. I don't know if I can last this. But the fact of the matter is, look, keeping it simple, God said, I can do this. Do you believe God can give you the faith to increase and give you the means to do it? Do you believe that God can do that? Yeah, God can do that. But when you say, yes, preacher, I believe God can do that, I'm going to say back to you, prove it. Prove that God can do that. Have the faith that it requires. I mean, the reason why these Syrians left is because four lepers are coming. They had enough faith to trust in God. And why do you think that the missions is going to increase? Because God is rolling out the carpet for you, because you are coming. Yeah, but preacher, I'm a know-nothing, I'm a no-name. Yeah, so are these four lepers. They're a know-nothing, no-namers. Wow, if God can do that for these lepers, I guess He could do that for me. I mean, look what's happening now. It says when these lepers in verse 8 came to the uttermost part of the camp, here comes, now watch this. It says here that when they came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. I want you to know they're having a party. That's a big party. They're enjoying the fruits of their faith. Faith brings fruit. Faith brings happiness. Some of us won't experience faith, won't exercise faith, because we're scared to death. Yeah, because you look at these lepers, and you're trying to say to them, look, you're going to die. Why not extend the life as long as you can? Why go over to the Syrians and get killed to death now? Because that's what's going to happen. I mean, that was the other option. That was the other death possibility. They go to the Syrians, and the Syrians are going to see him coming. They're going to kill him to death now. I mean, just take the light right out of them. Why would you want to do that? That's our logic. That's why we don't do much in the work of the Lord. Because we're scared of the consequences. If we don't do the work, who's going to do it? I mean, we've been anointed with this huge responsibility. We are the Open Door Baptist Church. That is a big deal. I mean, this is huge. What are we going to do with this directive here? I mean, this is a call of God. Now they say to themselves, and they say this. They say in verse 9, they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household, because while they're eating and having a merry time, the rest of their people are dying of starvation." And they said, "We do not well if we tarry here and enjoy these riches unto ourselves." So should be your understanding. You're saved, right? You're on your way to heaven, right? Look, the Word of God teaches us that we are a people of inheritance. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. What's His is ours, right? Yeah, that means that God can call missionaries and send them over, but He also calls His people to send them over. So it's as great a task as getting you to support the missionary so they can go. This is where you get to say amen again. Amen! Yeah. It's all about being involved, a participator, not a spectator. Some of you have been supporting missions. Praise the Lord for you. Some of you have gone well beyond. Hey, that's all God. Amen? That's all God. Look, you get the blessing. You get the blessing. Now it's about inspiring all of those to get involved and just simply together doing a work that would touch the lives of people and people make the difference between heaven and hell. Death and life. Wow, could you make a difference by the more and the extra that you give? By the way, God will never tell you what you should put down, but what He will not supply it. Absolutely. You need to lift this up before the Lord and pray concerning, "Lord, what would you have me to do? If you can work in these four lepers' lives, you can surely work in mine." Here we are enjoying the riches and feasting on God's goodness. Let's get it out to those who are starving to death and need salvation. Amen and amen. Shall we bow our heads? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, no one's looking.